We all know that
we welcome you again for this Chetna festival. Thank you for coming here, sparing your valuable time. I seek blessings of Srila Prabhupada, Guru Maharaj and all the Vaishnavas so that they give me their blessings so that I can share whatever good fortune they have bestowed upon me. So the topic for today is the real success formula. As I was pondering upon this topic, a small story came to my mind. There lived a balloon seller in a town who made his living by selling balloons at a fair. Whole day he would sell balloons of different colors, yellow color, red color, blue color, green color, and all variety of colors. And thus he would make his living. But what would happen as the day would go by, his sales would come down. So the seller would make a trick. What he would do, he would release one of the balloons in the air. And the balloon would go up in the air and it would catch attention of the children around. And children would again gather around him and ask for more balloons. And thus he would increase his sale. So a small boy was observing this for quite many days, and he once approached this balloon seller and asked, "Uncle, I want to ask you something. Even if you release a balloon of black color, will it still go up?" And the balloon seller smiled at the innocence of the child and said, "My dear child, it's not the color of the balloon, but what is inside it which takes it up." So the success in life, we understand, is not dependent on the externals of life, but it is dependent on the substance within. So the festivals like Chetna are conducted for helping all of us to build this substance within, so that all of us can be successful in life. So this topic was thought because everyone wants to be successful in life, right? Whether we are students, professionals, businessmen, or even a housewife. Whatever we are in life, we want to be successful. No one wants to be a failure in life. So we thought this topic is quite relevant to everyone. But before we start with our discussion on this topic, let us try to understand why everyone wants to be successful. What is in it that everyone longs for? Can anyone say why we want success in life? Why no one wants to be a failure? Yes. So this is the feeling of happiness and satisfaction that one looks for when one wants to be successful. The success... To be famous. But by becoming famous, what do you want to achieve? You want to be happy, right? You don't want to be miserable by becoming famous. We want happiness. The basic need is the happiness and satisfaction. Right? So once we understand why we want to be successful, let us see what is success. So the dictionary meaning of success, according to Oxford Dictionary, it says, achieving one's aim or purpose. Like you said, becoming famous. So someone's goal could be becoming famous. So for that person, becoming famous, achieving that goal of becoming famous is success. So people have different goals in life. So depending on what is our goal or purpose in life, the success can mainly be divided into two types. One is material success and another is spiritual success. Sounds too theoretical. We'll try to analyze what does it mean. So material success is counted in terms of marks, beauty, fame, followers, etc. So many parameters. So why are these parameters for material success? Why are these parameters for success? What was our criteria? Happiness and satisfaction, right? So do these parameters give us happiness and satisfaction? No? Yes. They do give us. Don't you feel happy when you score good marks? You feel happy, right? When someone comes and tells you, you look so beautiful, you feel happy, right? Or you earn wealth, you feel happy. So these are the parameters because they fulfill the criteria of giving you happiness and satisfaction. But there is a problem. That's why you said no. The problem is that this happiness and satisfaction, which is given to us by these parameters, is not permanent. Everyone has explained, everyone is nodding hand. It does not remain with us permanently. It is affected by time. It is affected by time and any change in the surrounding. Take our own example. Imagine the day when you had got your 10th standard result. Or not 10th standard. Any result when you had scored good marks. You remember the day when everyone was congratulating you and saying so nice and you were just floating in the air, receiving the wishes. I want to ask you, do you still feel the same happiness right now? Or if you fail in your final degree exam, can you be happy thinking, at least in 10th I scored good? You can't say people around, you can't say, Mom, in 10th standard you see 89%, okay? It's okay even if I fail now. Remember that success and feel happy. No. That happiness, the intensity of happiness has definitely gone down with time. Let us see if other people also have the same experience, like what we are experiencing, what the big people also experience. I would like to give you an example of a very famous person, a very successful person in the world. His name was Rockefeller. Though his name is Feller, but he was one of the successful people. He was the richest person on the earth. So this Rockefeller had a son, and he was his only son. And the son of Rockefeller was conducting a research on cannibals, an Asmat tribe of cannibals. You know what are cannibals? Cannibals are tribal people who eat human beings. They kill the human beings and eat them. So this son of Rockefeller was conducting his research and he was traveling in, New Guinea, which is somewhere in some part of, I think, America. And it so happened was this very object of his research, the cannibals, they kidnapped him. They killed him and ate him up. And that was the end of his research and him too. Everything was finished. And when this news reached Rockefeller, he was devastated. And he made this famous statement that today that I have lost my dear son, all of my wealth cannot give me any happiness. One of the most successful person became one of the most miserable people. Why? Because of the change in surrounding. We have examples of so many actors, actresses, singers, sportsmen, who when they are in their youth or doing their best, they are considered as most successful. Every day they are in newspaper. Everyone is talking about them. In train, I hear so many girls, speaking about their favorite actors or singers, having their MP3, speaking about the singers, glorifying. But after a few years, no one even knows where they are. I can speak about my own so-called favorite sportsmen. I had posters on my, walls of my room, and today I just don't even know where these people have gone, whether they are there. Or even politicians. Today they have tens and thousands of followers and tomorrow when someone else is on rule, no one asks them. They just walk on the road and at the most few people will point and say, he is going. The success has gone. So why does it happen? Why does this success does not remain with us? Because the success is the success of body. Everyone agrees to this? The fame of body, the followers for the body. And because our body is affected by time and does not remain permanently, everyone agrees that body is affected by time? Everyone grows older, na? Is there anyone who is of the same age since he is born, she is born? No, our body is affected by time. That is why the success of body is affected by time. and it does not remain with us permanently. Just like our body is born, it grows, stays for some time, produces some byproducts, and then dwindles and dies. Similarly, the success which is related to body is born, grows, stays for some time, produces byproducts maybe, then dwindles and dies. Everyone has this experience. We see in the world, we have experience, or we may not be successful, so we see the experience of others, what they go through. Sounds depressing. For this you have come over to hear that success is temporary and cannot give us happiness. Does that mean that all the devotees here are, no one has achieved any material success? Everyone is a failure materially? No, in fact, we have so many examples of devotees who are best in their fields. Just like you know this famous company of cars, Ford. You know Ford company? One of the owners of Ford company is Mr. Alfred Ford. He is a devotee of Krishna consciousness. He is a very senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada and practicing his Krishna consciousness very nicely. At the same time, he is a leading businessman in the world. And so many devotees in our own temple, like we have Gaur Hari Prabhu, who is the husband of our dear Anand Gopi. You know what is his qualification? He is a PhD in artificial intelligence. Do you know what is artificial intelligence? No? People just talk about it in newspapers. But he knows in and out of it. He is so qualified and successful that the very famous company IBM, they came to him requesting him to work for them. He didn't have to go and submit his biodata anywhere. Okay, the company itself came. There are so many examples like this. Why even go outside this temple hall? All of the devotees who are helping you all in this Chetna festival are all gems. You all know Prem Manjari Mataji. Everyone knows Prem Manjari Mataji. She has given a couple of Chetnas. She is so qualified. She is a gold medalist in radiology. She is FRCR. One of the only 7 doctors, I believe, in Mumbai who have this degree. Very prestigious. And we have so many devotees like Kishori Mataji, Kalindi Mataji, Sita Mataji, Rukmini Mataji, Vishaka Priya Mataji, Radharani Mataji. So many of them, they all were toppers in their studies. And today, most of them are leading professionals. What a success. What examples. So am I contradicting? Am I contradicting to whatever I said by glorifying the success of these people? There is a contradiction? Or is there any difference between the success of these devotees and success of other materially successful people? Yes, there is a difference. And the difference is their humility, their dedication, and their complete cooperation to the plan of God, which actually counts for the second type of success. What was the second type of success? The spiritual success. In essence, the barometer for spiritual success can be termed as, can be explained as how one pleases Krishna or God. The success, the spiritual success is dependent on how we are pleasing God by how we conduct our life. So this is what spiritual success. A devotee, whatever he does in his life, is only for this one purpose of satisfying the Lord, pleasing the Lord. Why? Why does he want to satisfy someone else other than himself? Why other people are working for their own happiness and satisfaction? Then why a devotee wants to satisfy the Lord or please the Lord? Because the devotee knows that is the only way to become happy. It is a very nice verse is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yatha taror mula nishechanena trupyanti tat skandha bhujo pashakha prano pahara cha yathendriyanam tathaiva sarva rahanam achyutecha. A very nice, wonderful, very logical example given herein is like this. If you water the root of the tree, all the parts of the tree, the twigs, the fruits, the flowers, the leaves, all the parts derive nourishment. Right? Or if you put food in the stomach, all the bodily parts derive nourishment. Correct? Everyone agrees to this? So similarly, when you satisfy the Lord, all the living entities who are the part and parcel of the Supreme Lord derive that happiness and satisfaction. Everyone agrees to this? Everyone understands this example? I'll not explain both the examples, at least one. Suppose if you want to have a healthy body, and you start putting some dry fruits on your hand, and put your feet dipped in milk, thinking, why every time give everything to stomach? My stomach should enjoy every time. Our hands are working so hard, feet are working so hard. Let me give some strength to them. Why every time to stomach? Stomach does not do anything except for demanding food, making us feel hungry always. So what will happen? If we neglect the stomach and give everything to other bodily parts, soon the body will become weak. An intelligent person understands that the giving food to stomach is not for stomach's interest. It is in interest of all the bodily parts. The stomach does not need for itself. It needs for all the bodily parts. So similarly, we being part and parcels of Krishna, when we satisfy the whole, all the parts are satisfied. It is understandable. It is going very heavy. No? You all are intelligent people. So, this is very important. And this satisfaction which we derive from satisfying the Lord, it remains with us forever, permanently. Why? Because this is not the satisfaction of body. This is not the happiness of body. But it is the happiness of soul. It is the happiness of soul. And because soul is eternal, the happiness, the success of soul is also eternal. But still, we are staying in this world. So we have to do our best. We can't say, okay, leave the studies and just, we all will stay in the temple now. We have to do our duties. So now the question comes, how do we lead our lives in such a way that the spiritual success always remains the focus, but at the same time, we do our best in pursuing the material success? So here comes our formula. The topic of the lecture is success formula. Just to make it easy to understand, we have divided this formula into 8 points. Let us go one by one. The first point is accepting yourself the way you are. It is a very important principle. Otherwise, we just keep thinking, I want to be like this person, I want to be like this person, how I wish I had this, and I don't have this. And thus we constantly remain unhappy, dissatisfied, and frustrated. And this frustration can become an obstacle on the path of success. There is a nice story of a crow. Everyone knows this story? I'll still repeat. There lived a crow who would fly around, eat whatever he wanted, rest on a tree for a while. And thus he thought that he is happiest bird. But one day he saw a swan. And when he saw a swan, white color, he looked at him. He said, I am so ugly. I am so black. Look at this swan. He's so white, so beautiful. So he approached the swan and asked the swan, oh swan, you look so beautiful. You have such a nice white color body. You must be the happiest bird. And the swan said, actually, even I thought the same, only till the day I saw a bird with two colors. And crow was like, two colors? And swan said, yes, the bird with two colors, the parrot. It has a nice green body and a red beak. Crow immediately started flying looking for a parrot. And there he found parrot. Just approached the parrot and said, dear parrot, you look so beautiful. I have such a nice green body and deep red beak. And you must be the happiest bird, right? And the parrot said, yes, actually, even I thought the same only till the day I saw a bird with many colors. And the crow was really shocked. Bird with many colors? Who is that? The parrot said, the peacock. The peacock must be the happiest bird because he is so beautiful. And the crow said, but where can I find peacock? I want to see, I want to meet him. And he said, you can find peacock in the zoo. And the crow flew all the way to zoo and then started looking in each cage. Where is peacock? And from a distance he saw a crowd around one cage. And he just rushed near and he heard people saying, oh peacock, beautiful peacock. And he became really excited, went nearer. And there he saw peacock with his tail fully spread, walking very gracefully in the cage. And the crow became so depressed. He just started flying, away. He didn't want to stay there. He was becoming too nervous and depressed and sad looking at its own black color body. But then he thought, all the way I have come here, at least I'll meet the peacock and know, you know, how does it feel to be so beautiful, you know, just out of curiosity. So he waited till the crowd dispersed and then he approached the peacock and said, my dear peacock, you're so beautiful. You must be the happiest bird. Huh? How do you feel? And peacock looked at the crow. And this peacock was very honest. And he told the crow, my dear crow, when I look around in the zoo, in none of the cages I see that they have caught some crows and kept. In fact, I see crows flying everywhere. They're sitting on any tree. They're eating anywhere, doing anything they want. Sitting on the back of a rhino, having a free ride. Just enjoying themselves. And when I look at the crow, I feel they are so happy. And when crow heard this, he thought, my God, I never thought about this. And then he thanked the peacock and again flew back, living happily. So this is the plight of all of us. The grass is always green on the other side. But if we constantly keep hankering and lamenting for what we don't have, we will fail to see what God has given us. And God has given everyone something. And in life, we have to focus on what God has given us and utilize those abilities and capacities to our best to become successful in life, to achieve the real success. And the second point is, I'm not going to tell you the second point. We are going to have a drama for second point, and then you have to think what it is.
Once upon a time, there lived a king. He had complete education and he was wealthy and opulent. Nevertheless, in spite of being endowed with all these assets.
Everyone enjoyed the drama? It was nice. So now I want to ask you, what is it that made this villager successful? You saw, he got the success, right? He got everything without asking. What did he do? What did you do? Made the right choice. Got it. So, this person became successful just by making a right choice. So, this is our second point. Making right choice. Is it important in life to make right choice? So, a small story comes in Mahabharata. Once Krishna wanted to offer his help to Kauravas and Pandavas for the war of Kurukshetra. So one day he called Arjun and Duryodhan and told them that tomorrow you can come to my chamber early in the morning and ask from me whatever help you want. He said, but I'll give you two choices. On one side is my Narayani Sena, entire Narayani Sena, and one side is I myself without a weapon. I'm not going to fight. So you have to choose between me and my army, the Narayani Sena. But the condition is whoever I will see first tomorrow morning will get first chance to ask. So the next day came and Duryodhan hurriedly, you know, got ready and he was first to reach because he didn't want to miss the chance of asking from Krishna. So he reached and the Lord was still resting. So Duryodhan went and stood near his head so that as soon as, you know, he wakes up, he should see him. And after a while, Arjun came and he saw Krishna is still sleeping. So he stood at his lotus feet. And when Krishna woke up, as he opened his eyes, he saw Arjun first. You don't get up like this, You always open your eyes and look like this. So then he saw Arjun. Then he just turned and he saw Duryodhan. And he said, Arjun, as I have seen you first, you get the first opportunity to ask. And Duryodhan became really upset. He said, no, I have come here first and I have to ask first. Arjun and Krishna said, no, but the condition was whoever I will see first will get first opportunity. So Duryodhan had to keep quiet. And Krishna looked at Arjun. And Arjun, he said, I don't want your Narayani Sena, Krishna. I want you. If I have you, why do I need your Sena? Why do I need your army? I just want you. And Krishna smiled. And Duryodhan laughed. He laughed in his mind, thinking that how foolish is Arjuna. Though given first chance to ask, he does not know what to choose. He doesn't have a good intelligence to ask. But everyone knows what happened. Arjuna won. And Duryodhana lost. Why? The reason is explained in the last verse of Bhagavad Gita, where it says, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partha Dhanurdhara, Tatra Shri Vijayor Bhuti Dhruva Nitir Matir Mama. It says that wherever there is Krishna and wherever there is a devotee like Arjun, there has to be victory and opulence and morality. Why? Because Krishna is a husband of goddess of fortune, Lakshmipati. And Krishna always wants to share this fortune with his devotees. So what we understand from this story and both the drama, that success in life is very much dependent on the choices that we make. And we have to be really very careful to not get allured by the temptations in the world. But we must understand what is in our real interest. What will give us permanent benefits? So for this, we need, what do we need? We need guidance, right? So that goes our, there goes our second, third point, which is appropriate guidance. Guidance, we all know, is very much required at every step. Even in material life, in spiritual life, we need guidance. But many a times, we just like to, we just want to hear rather what we like to hear. And thus we put filters in our ears and in our mind. So that whatever other person speaks, we just hear whatever we want to hear. And there is a very nice, instructive, funny story of monkeys. There lived a group of monkeys in the garden of a king. And this group of monkeys enjoyed nice fruits and shade in this garden. And there also lived one elderly monkey, an old monkey, within this group, who would always give some advice to these other monkeys. And one day what happened, this monkey, old monkey, came running to where all the monkeys were and said, let's leave, this is not the safe place to leave, you know. We should leave this place immediately. And other monkeys were, but what's the matter, what happened? And he said, I saw something today. I saw that a ship was putting its mouth in the vegetables in the king's kitchen. And you know what the cook did? He just threw a burning wood at the ship. But today the ship somehow escaped. But we must leave. This is not the safe place. Another monkeys were crazy or what? What is the connection between us and the ship? Why should we leave? And the old monkey explained. He said, today the ship has somehow escaped. But someday the wood will touch its body. And the wool on ship's body will catch fire. And the ship will become very fearful and start running here and there. And it will enter a horse barn, which is just next to kitchen. And in order to extinguish the fire on its body, it will start rolling on the ground. And what will happen then? The grass will catch fire. And the whole barn will be set on fire. And the horses will get burns. They will get wounds due to the burns. And the king loves his horses. And you know what is the best medicine for the wounds of horses? The burn wounds of horses? It is the fat of monkeys. He said, and king knows we are staying here. So he will catch us and kill us for that fat. So what I suggest, we should leave immediately and we should not wait here. And all the monkeys were pessimistic. What a monkey, old monkey. Just for this some imaginary danger, we don't want to leave our nice shed and fruits and come somewhere else. We don't want to do that. If you want, you go. Just imagination. So this old monkey tried telling them again and no one agreed. So he had to leave alone. And guess what happened? The wood touched the ship and the barn was set on fire. Horses got wood wounds due to burns. And king sent his men to get the monkeys. Killed him to get their fat. So what do we understand from this? What we understand is when someone tells us about the realities of life, the flickering nature of material happiness, the dangers in life, then we don't want to hear. We want to make an excuse by saying, these people are too pessimistic. Many times we feel, right? Someone tells us about life is full of dangers. It's too pessimistic. I don't want to hear this. But a person with good intelligence will always take guidance from those who have real wisdom. Why? Because that wisdom will save us from the pitfalls and dangers on the path of success. So the guidance is very important in life. And what comes after the guidance is right association. When we take right guidance, we want to stay in good association. The association is very important because it is said you become what you associate with. A very nice example Srila Prabhupada gives is of a fire, iron rod kept in fire. When you put an iron rod in fire, what happens? The iron rod takes the qualities of fire. It becomes red hot. And then it can do the work fire does. If you touch a hot, red hot iron rod to a paper or a cloth, what happens? It burns. So the qualities of fire are acquired by this rod. Similarly, if you put an iron rod in ice, it becomes ice cold. You touch, you feel it's very cold. So that's why it is very important that we associate with desirable people and we give up the association of undesirable people. Just like if you want to score good marks, you will not associate with people who are not serious in their studies. Rather, you will associate with people who are hardworking and sincere in the studies. Why? Because you get an inspiration to achieve your goal in such association. So similarly, when we want real success in life, we should associate with those who also have the same goal. Because in their association, we get an inspiration to achieve the goal. And at the same time, when you associate with desirable people, naturally, the association of undesirable people is, it goes away. It doesn't remain. So, we have discussed 4 points and we have come to the middle of our formula. What were the 4 points? Accepting yourself the way you are, making right choice, right guidance, and right association. Okay? So, after we have finished 4 points, we go to the 5th point, and it is being enthusiastic. Enthusiasm is very essential on the path of success. Even in material world, if you want to be successful, you have to be enthusiastic. Without enthusiasm, no one can achieve success. When right guidance and right association is being given to us, then it is very important that we are enthusiastic to take advantage. Just like all of you have come here for this Chetna festival. I really want to congratulate you, because you could have been doing so many things this evening, right? Someone could have gone to chapati, someone could have gone for a movie. No, but you understand, in this Radha Gopinath temple, some nice opportunities are being provided. And so, very enthusiastically you have come here to take advantage. Okay? So this completes the 5th point, and we go to the next point, the 6th point, which is accepting that everything happens for best. So, in our life, we make right choices, we have right guidance, right association, and we work very enthusiastically, but still, things don't always go the way we want them to be. Everyone has this experience? Things don't always go the way we want. In fact, it is a great problem in the world that people cannot handle failures. That is why there are so many cases of depression, suicides. In fact, the most miserable person in the world is one who thinks that things are always going to go his way. How many people have this experience? That things always go the way you want. Anyone? No one? How many people have experienced that sometimes, or rather many times, things don't happen the way you want? Everyone. So, a happy person is one who accepts whatever comes his way, adjusts to the situation, and sees positive hope and opportunity in every situation, because there is a purpose why God does things in a particular way. Again, a very nice story I just read is of a handicapped boy who had only one hand. He had only right hand, and the other hand was missing. And this boy had a desire to learn karate. So he approached a karate master and requested him to teach him. And the master agreed. So the first day, the master taught this boy a particular step and told him to practice. And the next day, again he taught him the same step and told him to practice. And third day, again taught him the same step and told him to practice. And like this, months went by, and the master was just telling him to practice one step. And one day, there was a karate tournament in the town, and the boys' group also participated. And each candidate was going for the match and was coming back, getting defeated. And at the end, this master told this boy, this handicapped boy, that now you go. And this boy was, me? Why are you sending me? I don't know anything. I just know one step. You have not taught me anything. And I'm handicapped. And the master said, you just go. And this boy went And after some time, he won, became victorious. And even he was surprised. You know? So he came to his master and asked, "How did I win? What happened?" So the master explained that you knew only one step and you had mastered it. And the only way to counteract this step is to hold your left hand, which you don't have. Never this boy had thought that not having a hand could be of some use. So many times we don't understand why things in life happen in particular way. Just like a child, when he is small, is asking for something, demanding something for his parents, and the parents sometimes refuse or sometimes just neglect the child and don't provide him with his demands. And the child goes through a feeling of failure. It feels, what a failure, I'm not getting what I want. Right now we may feel it funny, but when we were small, how loudly we used to shout and cry for the thing what we wanted. And when we didn't get, we thought, my parents, they just don't understand. They don't understand me. But when the same child grows up, he thanks his parents for what? For not giving him something. When his intelligence matures, he thanks his parents. Oh, thanks. Thanks you didn't provide these demands. So the maturity is to see things in its right perspective. And if we have this maturity, in any situation of life, we will grow tremendously. Because we will see positive hope. This is very important. This positive attitude, this right perspective, is very important on the path of success. So this was sixth point. And the seventh point is acting with determination and patience. So whenever you start pursuing any good thing in the world, there will always be some resistance. Everyone has experienced, you start some work, towards your goal, some obstacles will come, there will be some resistance. Something will try to pull you back, or hold you back. Why? Because we are staying in the world where law of gravity works. Anything goes up, gravity tries to pull it down. So what helps us to keep going up and not come down is determination. This determination is a function of intelligence. Intelligence has two functions mainly. One is discrimination and another is determination. Discrimination means to know what is right and what is wrong, what is true, what is false, what is real, what is unreal, what is moral, what is immoral. So when we know what is right, the determination to do the right thing is called as integrity. And this integrity also plays a very important part on the path of success. We should be really determined to do the right thing. We should always remain faithful to the ideals, our ideals in life. We should never compromise. We should never hesitate to do right thing. That will give us real success. But still, when we start working with determination very hard to achieve our goal, the desired result will not come immediately. It will take some time, or it may take longer time. So then what is required? The patience. Again, a nice story. Story of a sparrow. First we heard about crow, now about sparrow. When we were small, in Marathi they used to tell the story of Chiu and Cow. So this is story of Chiu, the sparrow. Okay. So one sparrow laid her eggs on the bank of an ocean. And a big wave came and it swept away her eggs. The sparrow became really sad. And she went to the ocean and said, "Dear ocean, please give me back my eggs." And you know what the ocean said? It did not say anything. Why should an ocean bother about a sparrow? So again the sparrow requested, please give me my eggs back. And there was no reply from ocean. So then the sparrow made a vow that I'm going to dry up this ocean by taking water drop by drop and throwing it away. And thus I will get my eggs back. The ocean was not affected. You know, what can a sparrow do to an ocean? But sparrow was determined. So she started flying to the ocean, take one drop in its tiny beak, fly away, throw it on the sand, again fly to the ocean, again take a drop, again fly back through. She was working really hard, you know, with determination and patience. And this news reached the mighty carrier of Krishna, Garudji. We have Garudji. So when Garudji heard about the efforts of his little sister, he was really pleased. I said, I will go down to help her and I will get her eggs back. So the Garudji came down and he told the ocean, oh ocean, please return the eggs of the sparrow. Otherwise, I will dry you up. And you know what ocean did? Immediately returned the eggs. Why? Because he knew that Garudji, being such an empowered servant of the Lord, he has so much power that he can dry me up. So he gave the eggs back, because the sparrow got her eggs back. So what do we understand? It's not merely our determination and patience that will give us success. But our determination and patience will attract the mercy of the Lord, which can do impossible things. It can do impossible things because God has that power. God's power can, you know, cannot be measured. So this comes to our last point actually, which is attracting the mercy of the Lord. In fact, this is the most important point. All the 7 points that we have discussed so far remain superficial and hollow if we miss this one most important point of attracting the mercy of the Lord. It is a central focus. If you think little deeply, you will understand. What is it which gives you the mental ability to accept yourself the way you are? What gives you inspiration to make a right choice? What gives you intelligence to take appropriate guidance and remain in proper association? What inspires you to be determined and patient? What is it? It is something which is not seen. It is some power. It is some power which is the mercy of the Lord. It is said how we attract the mercy of the Lord is by how we conduct our lives. The spiritual master of our Srila Prabhupada used to say that we should not, we should not try to see God. We should act in such a way that God wants to see you. So we conduct our lives in such a way that God is pleased to see us. Just like you are an employee in one company, a normal employee, and you want to have a meeting with the CEO of the company. How much chance is there? Hardly any chance. But if you work very sincerely, very hard for the company's benefit, then what will happen is CEO will come looking for you. Who is this person who is giving so much profit to my company? And then it's easy to meet him. So similarly, when we conduct our lives in such a way that is pleasing to God, we attract God's mercy. And in this age of Kali, the simplest way to attract the mercy of God is chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I just want to tell you, want to conclude actually with a small story. of a woodcutter. There was a woodcutter who was on contract for cutting trees. So he went for the work first day and he cut 10 trees. And he was really happy. So next day again he went and he could cut only 8 trees. So he was, so what happened? Maybe, I didn't work hard. So third day he decided, I'm really going to work hard and I'm going to work for longer. So he went early in the morning and started cutting trees, and whole day he spent cutting trees and still he could cut only 7 trees. Then he just sat and thought, why it is happening like this? And he realized, and what was happening was he was not taking out time to sharpen his axe. So his efficiency was going low. So similarly, this chanting is like sharpening our intelligence and our mind, which will increase our efficiency. Chanting, association of devotees, whatever we follow in devotional service is like sharpening the axe, which is very helpful for us to achieve our whatever target, the goal. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
So we really want to thank Braj Sundari Mataji for the wonderful class that she has given, and we can make out from the number of girls that have come to hear. Thank you so much. We would go to the next part, which is question answer session. But before that, we'll make a couple of announcements.